Well, good evening, and thank you for joining with us today for this gospel broadcast from the Innaleven Gospel Hall. Before we turn to the scriptures this evening, could we just begin with a brief word of prayer? Our Father, we thank thee again this evening for this opportunity that we have to come together, though not in person, but around the scriptures to see what thou hast have to say to us this evening. And we just pray, Father, that thou wilt open our hearts. We pray, Father, that thou wilt give us receptive hearts to the things that we would hear this evening, to the things that we would consider from thy word. And we pray, Father, that thou wilt bless thy word to us, and we pray that thou wilt help us. And any, our Father, that are listening to this broadcast that don't know the Lord Jesus as their Saviour, our Father, we pray that thou wilt take particular dealings with them. Help them to see the urgency of their situation. Help them to see just the wonder of thy salvation. And our Father, we just seek thy help this evening. Again, we just commit our will to thee. We think, Father, of the lockdown measures that are being lifted slightly. We thank thee, Father, for the opportunity that many of us have had this week to be able to see family for the first time for a while. And our Father, we just would pray for thy continued wisdom and guidance for our leaders to know just how and when best to relieve the measures further. We just seek thy help. We seek thy blessing to be upon our country, upon our nation. Turn us again to thee, our Father, we ask thee, as we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. I'd like to read one verse with you from the scriptures. It's found in Paul's letter to the Romans and in chapter 6. It's the very last verse of the chapter, and it says this: "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." I'll read it again. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." I will look to God to bless too as this reading from his precious word this evening. The verse that we've read is a verse of contrast, isn't it? You'll notice that the verse is split into two. That there's the first section, and then there's a but in the middle, and the but brings in a big and a glorious contrast between the first half and the second half of the verse. But if you take individual elements of the verse, there are other contrasts, individual contrasts within the verse itself. You have, for example, the contrast between wages and a gift, a free gift. You have the contrast between death and eternal life. And you have the contrast between sin and Jesus Christ, our Lord. Three contrasts then: wages and gift, death and eternal life, sin and Jesus Christ, our Lord. And I'd just like for a brief time this evening to consider these contrasts with you. You see, the verse itself isn't very difficult to understand, is it? We know what every element really is through it. But I wonder if we've understood the implications personally for ourselves. You know, it's one thing being able to understand the plain text of Scripture is being able to understand what it actually says. But sometimes it's applying it to our own lives and our own circumstances that we find most difficult. You see, we know what wages are. Wages are things that we are given because we deserve them. We work and we get paid wages. We do something and we have a wage. Maybe we have a job and we negotiate the terms beforehand, or whether we have a or maybe we have a set price per hour that we're paid, but it's in our contract. We work and we get paid the wages. Now, sometimes, of course, there are complaints, aren't there? Because it's thought that the wages that are paid are just not sufficient for the work that's been done. But I wonder whether, when we think of the wages of sin and those wages being death and eternal separation from God, whether any of us would complain if the wages weren't what we deserved. But wages you get paid for work that is done. It's strange in some ways to think of sin as work, but that's what the Bible calls it in Galatians chapter 5. And you could maybe read it for yourselves in verses 19 to 21. I'm not going to cover the verses tonight, but it speaks about the works of the flesh. And it talks about all kinds of things there. Or maybe you could think of some verses at the end of this letter, the book of Romans, and chapter 1 and verses 29 to 32. And there are other sins that are mentioned. And of course, the big things are on there, like murder. But there's also things like being disobedient to parents, and pride, and deceit. And those kind of things that maybe get a little bit closer to home. Maybe there's no one listening, or maybe there is that has been guilty of killing somebody else. But we've all told lies, we've all been deceitful. I doubt that there's anyone who's obeyed their parents completely. And these are all works. Works for which we deserve to be paid wages. And those wages are very dire, aren't they? The wages of sin is death. But you know, the wonderful thing about the gospel message is that up in heaven there is a God who doesn't want to pay us our wages. Now, in a normal sense, if an employer doesn't want to pay us our wages, we'd be up in arms about it. But this time, that there's a God in heaven who does not want to pay us our wages. Instead, the God of heaven is offering to us a free gift. And by definition, a free gift is completely the opposite of wages, isn't it? It's something that we can't work for. It's something that we can't pay anything towards. Something that we can't earn. For if we work for it or if we pay for it, it's not a gift anymore, is it? In fact, the only thing that we can do with a gift is to accept it, take it, receive it, and say thank you. And this evening, God is offering to us a gift. The gift is described as eternal life. And I wonder if we've ever said thank you. And I wonder if we've ever taken that gift that God is offering to us. Well, there's a choice to be made. What do we want? For one or the other, we will get no matter what. Do we want to be paid our wages? Or do we want the free gift that God is offering us? A contrast, then, and a choice. But the second contrast that we find in the verses is the contrast between death and eternal life. Death. Now we know what death is. It affects every single one of us. I don't suppose there's any of us that has not been affected somewhere along the line, some of us more closely, some of us more recently, perhaps. Physical death affects every single one of us. It's the ultimate statistics. The ultimate statistic, one out of one people or 100% of people die. But when the Bible talks about death, it's not just talking about physical death. You see, in the Bible, death is separation. Physical death is the separation of the soul and the spirit from the body. But this verse is talking about spiritual death, and it's much more serious. Because spiritual death is separation from God. And separation from God is forever. And it's not just separation from God, but it's separation from everything that God is and everything that God stands for. And no matter how bad our lives might have been, we might talk about being in a living hell on earth. But we've never, ever been separated truly from the kindness of God and the love of God. And to be separated from justice. To be separated from friendship. For to a greater or lesser extent, we all enjoy friendships, don't we? But you see, that's a gift from God. And without God, there would be no friendships. And spiritual death, eternal death, is separation from all of this. And that's the wages that sin brings about. You see, for God to remain God and for heaven to remain heaven, sin cannot be there. Can you imagine what heaven would be like if sin was there? For heaven is a place of perfect justice and perfect holiness and perfect love, where there is no such thing as selfishness or pride or envy or jealousy or any of those things. But you see, again, God doesn't want us to suffer death. He wants to give us eternal life. Eternal life. Where the guilty can be made right with God. You see, the book of Romans is full of what eternal life is all about. It's all about the guilty going free. The first three chapters of Romans establish just how guilty this world is and how guilty every single person in this world is. There's none of us that is good. There's none of us that can hold our head up in God's court. We're all guilty. But the wonderful thing about God's free gift is that the guilty can go free. Though not only do they go free, you see, sometimes a guilty person can be let out and everyone knows they're guilty, but they got off on a technicality. But the free gift of God's salvation is that guilty go free, being made right and declared right in God's court. How? Through the Lord Jesus and through what he did on the cross at Calvary. Sins can all be forgiven. Chapter 5 would tell us it's about having peace with God, peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And those who are enemies and estranged and alienated from God can be made God's friends and have peace with Him. Well, chapter 5 will also tell us something about the love of God being spread abroad, shed abroad rather, in our hearts. And it's like spilling water on the floor. You know how when you spill water on the floor, it just goes everywhere and it finds its way into every nook and cranny. Well, you know, when the love of God starts to work in your life through His Spirit, which is given to us, it just fills every nook and cranny. Or in chapter 6, it'll tell us that eternal life is power over sin, the power to overcome sin, those things that keep us back, those things that hold us down, the things that get a grip of us that we can't do anything really to break, those habits that we find so difficult to break. Well, the Bible tells us that eternal part of eternal life is the power to overcome sin in our lives. In chapter 7, it'll tell us that eternal life is freedom from the law. That isn't freedom to do what we like. But it's freedom from the fact that every time we do something wrong, you know, sometimes we can try so hard to make a difference, so hard to be different, so hard to be better. And then every time we fail, you know, if we're conscious of the law at all, if we're conscious even of God's Ten Commandments and we break one again, the law just stands there and it condemns us and it tells us, look, you've done it again, you're a failure. You just can't do it, you can't keep it up. But God's offer of eternal life is freedom from the law. That is, that the law has been satisfied, that I am right with God. And now God gives the strength and the help to do what is right, to keep the law, but not to be condemned by it. And then in chapter 8, there's some wonderful things. For it tells us at the beginning that there's no judgment, no condemnation. You know, I don't need to be afraid that when life ends, that it's all going to be in vain, that there's going to be a judgment that I have to face. Says Paul, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And that great chapter that starts off with no judgment, no condemnation, it ends with no separation. And he says this, I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. No separation. No separation from the love of God. Not now. And not forever. Isn't that a wonderful gift to be offered this evening? The gift of eternal life. Let me ask you this evening, what would your choice be? Would you choose death? Or would you choose life, eternal life? You know, Moses, years ago, he would say, or Joshua, rather, one of the two anyway, said, I've set before you today blessing and cursing and death and life. Therefore choose life. See, the wonderful thing is that through what the Lord Jesus has done on the cross of Calvary, we can choose. And life is on offer. And we can be saved and we can be forgiven. But you see, there's another contrast. And the final contrast of our verses is this. It's the contrast between sin and Jesus Christ, our Lord. And we thought about sin, and we thought about what it brings, and we thought about the hold that it has over us. You know, the Lord Jesus said, whoever commits sin is sin's slave. And we know that to be true, don't we? In our own experience, there are things, there are habits that we just can't break. But praise God for Jesus Christ, our Lord. You see, he's the reason that God can offer us this free gift this evening. For he's the one who came into this world. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He's the one who came, was born to die. He was born to die. That was the reason why he came into the world, to go to the cross of Calvary. And there to offer himself up as a perfect sacrifice. There to offer himself up as a perfect substitute. The only one who could take my place and your place. The only one who could take the judgment that my sin deserved and your sin deserved. And the only one who could give freedom and forgiveness from sin. He died, yes, but he rose again from the dead. Romans chapter 4, the last verse would say he was delivered for our offences. Our offences are what put Christ on the cross. Our sins are what brought the Son of God to that dreadful, awful place called Calvary. To suffer that most humiliating and awful death. That death of crucifixion, but more than that, to suffer the judgment and the anger of God against sin. But not only did he die, but he rose again. He rose again from the dead, and he lives a glorious, exalted, a wonderful Saviour. I want to ask you tonight, is he your Saviour? Is he your Saviour? For this is the final choice of our verses. We've had the choice between wages and a gift. We've had the choice between death and life, death and eternal life. And now we've got the choice between sin and Jesus Christ, our Lord. Is there something that's keeping you back from salvation? Is there something that you know will have to go if you trust Christ as your Saviour and you just don't want to give it up? I want to ask you this evening, is there anything worth holding on to? You can't have both, you know. You can't hold on to your sin, that sin that put the Saviour on the cross, and have Christ. Something needs to give, something needs to go. And what will it be this evening? Who will it be this evening? The Bible tells us, and I can tell you from my own personal experience, the Bible tells us whoever trusts in him, whoever believes in him, shall never be disappointed, shall never be put to shame. I want to ask you this evening, are you prepared to put your trust in the Lord Jesus for salvation? Oh, eternal life is on offer. A free gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord, is on offer to you this evening. Will you take it? Will you receive it? Will you say thank you? Will you say thank you to him for dying for you and for taking your punishment, for taking your place? And will you give him your life and you're everything, and you're all. May God help us to do this evening. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank thee for this time, this brief time that we've been able to spend around thy word tonight. And we pray, Father, that thou'll just apply thy word to each of our hearts. We thank thee for its simplicity. We thank thee that there's nothing complicated about it. And we just pray that thy word might come across in all its clarity and in all its forcefulness and in all its power this evening. And we just pray, Father, that thou'll bless each heart, each soul that's listening tonight. We pray, Father, for any particularly that don't know the Lord Jesus as their Saviour, that they might come to a saving knowledge of him. And so we ask these things. We just give thee thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. If there's anyone that has questions as a result of anything that they've heard this evening, please don't hesitate to get in touch. The contact details are on our website, and I'll even gospelhall.org.uk. I don't know if there's any way of getting in touch via YouTube or not, but the website is probably the best place to go. Thank you for listening. May God bless you, and good night.